We live in a confused culture. Children today grow up not knowing their creator or their purpose, their parents or their value, their gender or God's intention for their relationship. I thought I'd share with you something today from Ephesians chapter 6 as we prepare to go there. So you can turn there, but I'd like to read to you from something that is a passage you haven't heard from before. I've taken this from the Revised Cultural Bible of American Philosophy. It's their paraphrase of Ephesians chapter 6. Parents, obey your children, catering to their preferences, for this will keep them happy. Honor them as special, granting their every wish for possession or privilege or activity, that they may spend their lives in self-centered contentment, creating their own purpose for their life and reaching a high level of self-actualization. Does that sound like something you've heard? We recognize that we're in a culture that's oftentimes the philosophy. It says, hey parents, it's your job to make life pleasant for your children. But you know, your Bible clearly proclaims a divine pattern for life. Even though we may live in a swamp without boat or paddle or dock, God has given us his word. And it's quite clear here in Ephesians chapter 6 what God's priorities for us are and how a family is supposed to operate. And so he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God has a clear path for us. The question is, are we ready to hear what he has to say? Are we willing to listen? It was interesting how many times when Jesus was teaching that he said, he who has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. Now it's interesting. Don't you all have ears? Go ahead, check that person next to you. You know, you've all got ears. But what was he saying when he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? Well, of course we have ears to hear, but what he was saying, something deeper, something spiritual, says, if you have a receptiveness to your heart, then receive what I'm speaking. And all of us have had an experience at one time or another, I'm pretty certain, in your life, where a mother or a father said to you, aren't you listening to me? And we can be paying attention and still not be listening. We develop those abilities. And so I want us to think about this, because God has a plan for us. And it's in regard to how we see transformation in our relationship with our Heavenly Father and how that can relate to our relationship with our children. And so it's a critical factor for us to understand. It's interesting, when the book of Proverbs was written, the specific intention of the book was a father writing instructions to his children. So by the way, dads, it is a great book, and moms, to still share with your children. It's something that my children regularly received, a proverb on their way out the door. Even though they may still be chewing their cereal, grabbing their books, dad was still trying to drop a seed into their life as they ran towards a bus. But there's choices that we make. And so in Proverbs it says that the wise person will hear and increase in learning. and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So, for transformational parenting, we actually need two sets of ears, the child's and the parent's. It is a change for many people to understand this concept that when we read the Bible, it doesn't say, parents, make your children obey. You notice that? That's pretty much the way I kind of took it in the household that I grew up in. Parents, make your children obey. But it says here, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I want you to understand that God is personally interested in having a relationship with your child. I don't care what their age is. He's interested in having a relationship with them, and he invites them into this relationship. And yet we understand, well, children are to obey their parents. Well, certainly there's an implication there that parents have got something to do, don't they? Because they're supposed to be providing some direction that the children will obey. And so it's interesting to think about this, though, that when God speaks this way and gives this command, children, obey your parents in the Lord, that is in him, out of a life and love for him, he says, do this, that it's your response to your parent is a response to the Savior. That when we live in a household under our parents' authority, that how you respond to the authority that God has placed in your home is a response to the Savior. That's not saying your dad is God. Okay? What it's saying is that God's expecting you to have a response to them that shows the value and the honor to the authority that he's delegated to them. And so how you respond to them is indeed a response to him, because he's the one that gave them this instruction, children, obey your parents. And so today I just want to look at these first three verses. Lord willing, next week on Father's Day, we'll spend a little more time talking about the incredible influence that fathers can have and the incredible purpose that God has given to fathers. And so we'll step into that further instruction. But here he says that we're to be obedient. So I think we all know this, but how you respond to God's voice is something that affects your relationship with God. Just like how you respond to anybody's voice affects your relationship. We tend to get irritated when somebody doesn't listen to us, don't we? Some of us are more patient about that than others. Others of us just are used to the fact that the person we're related to is not hearing so well. But how we choose to respond is important, because obeying your parents is a faith choice, okay? It's of the heart to trust God's representative. And so really, when we're talking about teaching our children to obey, we're actually talking about encouraging them to come into relationship with God. How? Through their relationship with us. Okay? Now, I've told a few jokes about my family, and I'll probably continue to do so, because that's your family, it's your story, you know. There was times when I was in relationship with my parents, I thought they were going to introduce me to God that day, if you know what I mean. And yet, to have a focus that, you know, I mean, some of the comedians have said, you know, hey, if the father says, hey, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Sometimes that's the attitude a parent can come about, but I don't think that really invites a child to connect with the Savior. And so it's not so much a matter of control as it is a matter of guidance. It's a matter of connection. And so children, obey is a direct command from Christ saying, I love you enough, I've got a plan for you. Do you understand that? That all of God's directions are not suggestions, they're protections. They're provisions for us. Whatever he's told us to do, he told us to do that because that's the best way to do life, because he knows he made it. And so as a parent, we have the opportunity to teach our children that. And so when the Bible says, children, obey your parents, let me define that for some of you who are closely listening to me today as children. It means to listen with an attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard with respect for the person who gave the direction. Now, when I look back at my life as a young man, I'm not sure I met that definition very often. I would do what I was told because I knew what was coming if I didn't. Can anybody relate to that? That is not really what God's inviting a child into here. Yeah, I'm inviting you to do this in the Lord, that you would respond to God out of this relationship. And so as parents, we're inviting our children into this spot. And you know, it's interesting, Ephesians and Colossians, I've mentioned this several times that we went through it, are parallel books. All right, you'll find that almost the same truths expressed in slightly different ways in the book of Colossians as are expressed in the book of Ephesians. In Colossians 3:20, we find this statement, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I wish when I was younger I would have got the idea that obeying my mom and dad was something that was honoring to God. Now, I believe they tried to tell me that. I don't think I had ears to hear it. You know what I'm saying? It's not that they didn't tell me. They told me. It just, sometimes it came across different. And so I think we need to have an attitude and says, well, why is it sometimes that our children don't hear us the way we want to be heard? And Proverbs 1:8 talks about the attitude that we're to have, and he speaks both to fathers and to mothers. Would you read this with me? Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. All the way through the book of Proverbs, you'll hear that exhortation. Listen to dad, listen to mom. It'll just be translated in lots of different ways, both positive and negative. But again, I think it's critical to understand, this is God speaking to the child through the word. And so as parents, we're inviting children to have a response back to God. And so transformation, when I talk about this idea of transformational parenting, transformation is this process of learning to follow God rather than go my own way. And boy, do we have a bent to go our own way, don't we? I read somewhere the other day that, you know, children can teach you three things. I'm not sure I can remember them all this morning, but one was is how to be happy for no reason at all. And I thought that's such a cool thing. And they also can teach you how to be busy all the time. But the other is how to continually insist on your own way regardless of the consequences. They can be so persistent about, I want this, how to go for what you want. And so part of the job of a parent is to shape a child to want God's way more than their own way. And that's what brings you into a conflict of will, right? Because it's your will against theirs. And so we need to be shaping that, all right? And so one of the things that I have tried to bring out as I raise my sons is that obedience is a faith choice, not a flesh choice. Obedience is a choice. It didn't really seem like that in my household. I felt like I was going to be obeying whether I liked it or not, as opposed to I had this opportunity to make a decision to walk in relationship. Now, like I said, I don't know if that was just because of a very thick skull. You'd have thought I figured it out because the brother ahead of me was slightly thicker in skull. And I had watched the, you know, the applied psychology firmly applied in his life. And some people, like my wife, I mean, they learn from their brothers and sisters. I'm not sure I did. But there's a choice to be made. And so when we're giving instruction to our children, when we're in relationship with children, even with adult children, in fact, especially with adult children, the idea of not trying to force a decision, but to invite a choice to the decision that needs to be made, to respond to the direction that has been given, involves their heart being drawn into the process. And so you have to obey to go God's way, all right? And that's just, it has to be there. But are we inviting them to a choice, or are we dragging them down a path? Yeah, that is kind of the challenge that I think we have. And so for parents, it says here that you're raising your child to do this in the Lord. If you listen to your parent and they're walking with God, you can actually hear God speaking to you. Now, if they're directly contrary to God, obviously they're not to be obeyed if they're asking you to disobey God's instruction. But in everywhere else, it says, hey, in all things. So the Bible says you must obey God rather than men. So I'm not saying you join your father in robbing banks or something like that. Okay, we're not talking about that. But the idea is that in all things, our fathers and mothers did, it says in Hebrews 12, what seemed best to them. They disciplined us according to what seemed best to them. And that's true. And yet all of us who have been parents, and even some of us aunts and uncles who've had influence, because you have a parenting influence, whether you have a biological child or not, how many can say you made some serious mistakes with your children growing up? Yeah. So in that spot, how do we keep inviting a child to walk with God when they're walking with an imperfect parent? So, it says children obey your parents. So the implied direction is parents give direction to your children. Isn't that, don't you see that there? It says children obey your parents. It means parents are supposed to be giving enough direction that the child knows what they're supposed to be doing, that they're going to pick that up. And so I was thinking about this because my children are now 34, 32, 27. I'll probably be corrected about that later. No, I think I got it right. There we go. But parenting is a lifelong process of encouraging our children to love and trust God. And so while some of the things that I'm sharing today will be things that I'm sharing and you're saying, boy, I wish I would have known that when my child was young. But many of the principles I'm going to, or concepts I'm going to share here, just a second, are still working with adult children. You have to change the authority structure, but the relational invitation is still there. So God is declaring to children His will through their parents. And so we are that expression source, and we're to be a person who gives it actively to them. Many of you are familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can turn back there with me if you'd like. Here we have the Shema, the direct declaration of the core principle of what it means to walk with God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Amen? And you guys have all got that down perfect, right? See, that's the joy of parenting. All you have to do is you just say it once and they got it, right? Just like us. God just tells us once and we got it, right? I think we ought to be patient with our children, realizing what kind of children we are with our Father. But here's what He says. After telling them, "You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength." And He says, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons." And that would imply your daughters. "And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Sitting, walking, lying. Anybody get the picture? When are you supposed to be doing this? All the time. George Barna did a survey a few years back that found 10% of parents who attend church share the word with their children at some time during the week. 10%. Believers, the problem we have in American culture today is not that they took prayer out of schools. It's not that they took Bible out of schools. It's that parents took it out of their homes. It's that we, as the believers, have not continued to cultivate this mindset that He is to be sought with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. He says, "This shall be on your heart." And so if I want my children to bleed Christ, then I must hemorrhage Christ. Are you with me? That if I want there to be something that they catch, because many truths that we talk about are much better caught than taught. There are things that you learned at home, you didn't realize you were being taught. As I say frequently, I was taught well to be frugal. I don't ever remember my father sitting down and saying, "I'd like to give you a lesson on frugality." I don't ever remember that class. But I am still getting A's. Okay. You know, it's just an instruction thing. And I've had a little assistance in moving into moderation with a spouse. But there are things that, because of how you live, it's there, you know? Do you remember the chore list that you had? Growing up in Gaski and growing up on some property, we had responsibilities that had to be done before you got to do what you wanted to do. And they all involved food production for the most part. It was either food production or wood production for heat. And I hated working in that garden. And at the end of an hour or two of picking berries, you're like, "Ah, I can't stand this. You know, I got a really large berry patch in my backyard. You know, I bought a piece of property with an orchard." The values that get put into you by the heart of your parent, living it out. That's what I'm saying. So if that can happen with fruits and vegetables and gardens and responsibilities, that can happen with Scripture. So that when they see you in the Word each day, they will know there's a value that you find in the Word. When they see you on your knees, when you take them together, when there's a situation going on, and you're praying with your children about this situation, let's ask God to do this. You share your faith by example. And so in this verse here, what he's saying, let it be on your heart. That's a key factor for us. And so truth must be modeled with consistency and compassion. Otherwise, it just becomes this expression. You know, we heard a lot of things from our parents, but that which is on their heart oftentimes is what we have picked up. So what I'm saying, if you haven't picked it up yet, is live it. Okay? And if you want to take it a step farther, it's love it. That you would live out this truth and that you would so love it that it's not a rule system, but it's a relationship that you live out in front of your children, even if it's your grandchildren. In fact, some of you have done a fabulous job with connecting with grandchildren, even though you maybe even weren't walking with Christ when you had your own children. That's some of the opportunities that we still get. Praise the Lord. That's what we call the second chance, all right? But why does truth not always transfer? You ever wonder about that? Why does truth not always transfer? in my perspective, sometimes I think it's because we lecture rather than listen. I look at so much of the teaching that I've done on parenting, and it's teach them, teach them, teach them, teach them. Tell them, tell them, tell them, tell them. That's how I was raised. But what did I say? Obedience is a faith choice, not a flesh choice. It's not something that you force into them. It's something that they must embrace. And so, are we listening? A heart has to embrace the truth it hears, not just hear the truth it's supposed to embrace. Did you catch that? A heart has to embrace the truth it hears, not just hear the truth it's supposed to embrace. But we have heard many, many lectures, you know, and it's kind of, yeah, Dad. Yeah, Mom, I know. There's something there, though, that we have to walk with him in a different way. You live it, you love it, and you listen. Because the Bible says your mouth does what? It speaks out of what fills the heart. So if we're trying to influence the heart of your children, God's already given you a very, very important tool to know the heart of your children. You know what it is? Your ear, their mouth. Did you catch that? Your ear, their mouth. Because as you listen to them, you will hear what's going on in their heart. You can invite them forward. You can tell if the truth got in by the words that come out. And so I can remember growing up with five brothers and sisters, and the truth was put in front of us quite thoroughly. And yet if you would listen to how those six siblings related to one another when it came to sharing the one bathroom in the house, just listening to that discussion alone, particularly on a Sunday morning when there's a timeline you have to get it done by, you could tell we weren't picking up some of the truths that were being given to us. They were being given to us, but we weren't getting them because you could tell by how we talked to each other. So it's a challenge to learn to listen. And I got to say, many times in conversations with my children, I tried to control the conversation rather than communicate in the conversation. That does not help. Be the big person. Be the big person. You don't have to argue. By the way, when you have arguments, how many times does winning an argument really change the other person's mind? So don't argue with them. Listen, share truth, and you can tell your child, thank you for sharing your opinion. We have a different one, and I'm in charge. But you don't have to shame them. You don't have to blame them. We can create an environment where they tell you. Now, here's a critical factor, and I think this is still going on. When you're talking to your kids on the phone that are adults, I think it's still going on. Because what is your response to what they share with you? Now, you have to create an environment where they will share. My wife was excellent at this. She had three boys. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, particularly teenagers. And about that time when they're starting to tune you out, Susie found a way to tune them in. It was called chocolate chip cookies. And it was always interesting to me because she didn't seem to care the fact that they were scooping dough out of the bowl and eating half of the stuff before it ever got onto the cookie tray, which to me seemed ridiculous because I think cookies are much better after they've been cooked than they are raw. I know some of you would disagree with me. That's okay. But what she did was she created an environment where her children hung around her and talked with her. All right? And remember what we talked about? That when we talked about this idea of getting your children, getting a person, your spouse, to share, remember we talked about the bunny? That idea, how do you get a person to open up? Okay, now if you want to reach a bunny, use a carrot. Do you know what the carrot of a child's heart is? Your ear. They start talking to you at a very young age, and they will never stop unless you stop listening or unless you start lecturing. Check this on for size. I'm just going to walk through a couple of illustrations. Your child comes home. This is particularly where it's critical. Junior high, high school. But I think it starts younger than that. But they come home, and maybe you've created the environment. So they're scooping cookie dough, whatever it is that works at your house. They start talking, do you know what happened at school today? No. Oh yeah, so-and-so offered me some cigarettes. And that will push a button inside a parent. Well, you know, I told you before how you're supposed to handle that. And when you start into lecture, they lock up. And the bunny goes away. Listen. Listen. If you give them an ear, you can draw them out. Because if you took the time to listen and say, really, so how'd that go for you? Oh, I told them cigarettes were terrible, and I wanted nothing to do with that. Well, they would have told you that if you wouldn't have started your lecture. You know, or they may tell you something you didn't want to hear. Well, I tried one. It tasted terrible. Okay, well, I hope you look. Do you see what I'm saying? Are we shutting them down or are we opening them up? And that's what God wants to do with us. When he invites us into relationship, he said, I want you to step into this relationship of trusting me. And so he gives you a parenting responsibility. Does it require prayer, parents? When you pray, what's that called? Talking to God. Oh. What has God offered you to get you to talk to him? His ear. Now here's the deal. You want your children to know that God will listen to them. Amen? Because he does. Amen? He always hears us when we pray. He doesn't always agree with us when we pray, just like you won't always agree with your children. But he listens to us. But if we don't listen to them, why should they think God would? Because remember, we're modeling God's heart to them. So even with adult children, even with grandchildren, I want to encourage you to be a person who listens rather than lectures. There's a place for a lecture. It's just not near as frequent as most of us think sometimes. And so I want to encourage you with that, because I believe when a child goes unheard, they walk away with messages. And the messages that I have discerned is unheard equals unvalued equals unwanted equals unloved. So take the time to listen, and you may find you'll hear more than you ever could. And then he says this in that third verse. He says, honor, the second verse says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? So that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Again, I remember hearing that verse and knowing exactly what that meant. If you straighten up, you'll live. That was just the way I understood it. But by the way, have you found that your interpretation of Scripture has changed over time? That your understanding of some verses has changed over time? Do you understand that your children have perspectives of the Bible that are not particularly accurate, and unless you listen to them and can share with them? No, that's not really how that means. He says, honor your father and mother. What does that mean? Honoring your parents is for expressing the value that you feel for their role and their responsibility. God says, I want you to express appreciation. I want you to honor them. And so we can express value to our parents. And so if you're here as a teenager, shock your parents. In fact, if you're here as an adult with older parents, shock your parents. Don't wait for Father's Day, Mother's Day, or birthday. Honoring is for every day. And so, why do we sometimes dishonor our parents? Do you remember getting that attitude about your parents? Once again, it was what? Is they crossed your will. But you know what? The cross always crosses our will, doesn't it? And sometimes God has given us parents, even if they weren't Christian, who were still shaping your character to learn to submit to authority that you might submit to God, that you might trust his work in your life. And so honor is this idea of showing a high regard and respect to communicate the worth and the value you feel for someone. Why show honor? Because they're God's representative. Do you remember David? When Saul was chasing him down all across Israel, he was running for his life. Here's David. He's been received the anointing to be the next king. Saul is the king. He knows this about David, and he's trying to kill David. And what did David say continually? How did David have his life guided? He says, I will not touch God's anointed. Parents, you are God's anointed for your child. Your parents is God's anointed for you. It's someone he specifically designed for you to shape your heart and your soul. And so you can express appreciation back to them. I don't know what it looks like for you, because I don't know what phase of life you're in. As you go through phases, it changes. Isn't that right? I had a little wake-up call on this myself recently. And, you know, there's things that men do and women do, and some of us were raised with, you know, very distinct roles and all this stuff. And my mother has gotten older, surprising thing. You'd never know that looking at me, that I'd have an older mother. But honoring my mother now means going to doctor appointments with her. But it was a lot easier to ask my wife to do that, until I realized that that wasn't honoring my mother. I thought back over how many hours upon hours that woman waited with me in doctor's appointments, in school assignments, in sports activities. How could I, at this phase of my life, say, you know, I'm really busy, I'm a pastor, I got time to see somebody else's mother, right? Are you going to take care of your own? And so God just kind of stuck me through on that one day. And it was a good thing. The Bible says you're to honor your mother when she's old. And that's a time when it gets harder, because they start going in reverse. You start switching these roles. Some of you know what I'm talking about, where all of a sudden you're parenting your parents. And that's hard. So were you. Some of you will catch that a little bit later. Listen. He says honor this. It's this singular, continuous calling. And it's the idea that it'll continue right up into their old age. It doesn't mean you like everything they say. It doesn't mean you agree with them, just like your children. It just means you extend to them the value and appreciation that God gives to them. Because honor flows from belief. It flows from a belief, and that belief will transform your attitudes, your actions, and your words. So we have to be really careful. You know, most of us grew up knowing that if you ever put your fingers in your ears in your mother or your father's presence while they were talking to you, your fingers were going to be sore, and so was another part of your body. Isn't that right? But haven't we developed emotional ways to do this? Let's be careful. I just want to encourage you from my own challenges, all right? This is a gift that's given by faith. It's not because necessarily the response that comes back to you. Somebody was told one time, they were saying, well, I'm going to see my mother, and they said, oh, how's she doing? Oh, so she hasn't known me for 5 years. They said, then why do you still go? He says, I still know my mother. We don't need to be so preoccupied with everything we do doing something for us. And I think if we find we do what God's told us to do and we extend the honor, even when it doesn't feel comfortable to us, we will find ourselves maturing in the very ways we've asked God to mature us. Because what? Obedience is a faith choice, not a flesh choice. So that it may be well with you, I want us as parents and as his children to get this concept. God wants your good. If you don't believe that, you'll run away from home. I did. I can remember sitting on a hill outside of Gaskey. I'd been whooped, and I had it coming, but I was still upset. And so I ran away. And I'd been gone for several hours. And you know, somehow out there when you're sitting there in the woods, all of a sudden wisdom begins to soak in, particularly if the rain is soaking in. And you're sitting there and you realize, you know, what have I done? You know, but you're too proud to deal with it. I can remember watching my parents' travel all driving up the road. They were looking for me. And your father's looking for you. He has good in mind for you. He says, so that it'll go well with you. If you will choose to submit yourself to God the Father, you will find it will go well with you. Doesn't mean it'll all go easy with you. I finally came off the mountain. It didn't go easy with me. You would think that, you know, you'd be happy to see me back. Well, they were. And to let me know what they thought of it. It's a faith choice, not a flesh choice. And I say that before? Listen, God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't that show you that the Father's looking for you? The Father's looking for you. He wants a relationship with you. And so following God's will result in God's blessing. That's true for eternity. Everyone who believes on him receives forgiveness of sins, it says. But that's true for here as well, because he's got good in mind for your family if you'll walk this out. I'm not saying God's way will always be pleasant, comfortable, and I'm never saying it's going to be easy. But I am saying this. It's good, because he's a good, good. That's who he is. That's who he is. I can trust him. Sin will always rob us, and obedience will always enrich us. So God the Father invites us to trust him. So as you walk that out this next week, I want to encourage you to listen to your children's heart. I want you to listen to God's voice, and I want you to listen to your parents' input. God's got a plan for you, and it's good, and it can transform your relationships if we walk with him. Let's pray.